chapter 10, we'll read verse 24 and 25. Matthew chapter 10, verse 24 and verse 25. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? Our central focus this morning is the A part of verse 25. It is enough for the student to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. So this morning we shall look at the servant mind. Can we say the servant mind? And from our text, you agree with me that Jesus, speaking in this text, have declared that the servant should be like the master. And in this case, Jesus is the master, and we are his servant. So all what God has been pushing for us since we began this series is to make us like our master, is to become like the master. So this morning, we shall be looking at the topic, the servant mind. Now, our study throughout this series is the mind of Christ. And one of the mind of Christ is a servant mind. Jesus had a mind of a servant, as we see in Philippians chapter 2. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Jesus had a mind of the servant. Read from verse 6. It says, who being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God as something to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So Jesus came into this world, though he is God, though he is God personified, he took the very nature of a servant. The nature of a servant. So that is what we want to look at this morning. How did Jesus take the nature of a servant? And quickly, I will try to be very quick this morning. So I want you to follow me with your writing pads and your pen and your ears and your heart. We are going to look at two reasons why you need to be a servant. We are going to look at two major reasons why you need to be a servant. We are going to look at what God expects of you, that is to serve God and to serve others. As a servant, you are not just serving God, you are serving others. Then we shall look at characteristics of a servant mind quickly. Quickly, characteristics of a servant mind. That is the last thing we shall look at quickly. By way of introduction, at the center of the mind of Christ is the servant mind. At the center of the mind of Christ is which mind? The servant mind. So if you say you have the mind of Christ without having a servant mind, then you don't have the mind of Christ. No, we have read from Philippians 2:7 that talks about he made himself of no reputation and he took upon himself the form of a servant. When you refuse to submit yourself to others, you carry over your refusal to submit to God. So God expects us to submit to him and to submit to others. Most Christians have a poor understanding of servanthood and they resist submission to one another. Now, a lot of us have the mindset that I am submitting to Jesus, I don't need to submit to any man. But the principle of servanthood is that you submit to Jesus and you also submit to others. You submit to other men that Jesus has put around you. Now, Jesus submitted to God. He also submitted to death. He also submitted to the Jews. Even when they questioned him, he did not answer, and he was beaten and he was killed. He submitted himself even to death. You remember he told Pilate, I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it back. I just gave it to you. I just submit my life to you, not because I cannot take it back. So he was demonstrating a servant mind. Many Christians are more concerned with the provision of privileges and personal rights than the joy of service. Now, a lot of us are so much interested in the privileges you have in Christ, in the joy, in the rights you have in Christ, in the blessings you have in Christ, rather than in the joy of serving, in the joy of servanthood. So if you have not come to the point to have a great joy in serving Christ and serving others, then you have not known Christ. You have not come to the center of the mind of Christ. What are the two reasons why we need to be servants, or the two reasons for servanthood? First of all, the first reason is that to be a servant is a command. It's a command. Jesus demonstrated that to us, and we are commanded to be servants. Jesus told his disciples, if you must be at the top, you must be servant of all. Servanthood is a command by our master, so we must have the mind of a servant. You know, we are to think like a servant. Think like a servant. Now, if you study a lot of Jesus' parables that he gave about the kingdom of God, most of those parables, he will say, the kingdom of God is like. Most of those parables Jesus gave was parables of servanthood. He will say, the kingdom of God is like a man going on a journey and he gave his servants. Is that not so? It's like a man who, you know, built a vineyard and he gave his servants to go and, you know, till them. It's like a man who prepared a banquet and he asked his servants to go and bring the people in. Praise God. So the entire message of the kingdom of God is servanthood. Someone say servanthood. So once you believe in Jesus, you have been called into servanthood. One truth of this parable of the kingdom of God, that is servanthood, about king and the masters, or the king and servants, is that servants will be called to give account of their servanthood. One very important of those parables is the parable of the talent. How many of you remember the parable of the talent? Hello? How many of you know the parable of the talent? Wave your hands if you know it. Okay, what is the parable of the talent? Where can we find the parable of the talent in the Bible? Huh? Matthew, verse 14 to 30. In Matthew 25, you have the parable of the 10 virgins. Amen. So, in the parable of the talent, you see, the Bible says like a king going on a journey, and he called who? Who did he call? His servant. So there is a king and there are what? Servants. And he gave one how many talents? He gave the second one how many talents? He gave the third one how many talents? Why did he give them like that? According to their abilities. Now the master knows the ability of every one of his servants. And secondly, every servant have ability. Somebody say, every servant have ability. There is no one that he gave zero. He gave all of them something. Can you say to yourself, I have something to offer, given to me by my master. Amen. So, what did the first person do with his talent? Huh? Somebody say he traded. Is that not so? What does it mean to trade? Huh? To put it to use, to sell. And when you sell, you what? You gain. Do you know that the kingdom of God is about trading? And we say, church has become business. The kingdom of God is business. And it's the business of souls. Amen. Business of souls. He traded with it. He used it. He put it to work. And he gained how many more? So how many percent profit? 100% profit. He had five. He put five. If he invested 5,000 naira and you gain 5,000 naira more profit, how many percent profit is that? 100%. The second one who had two also traded. How many profit did he have? That is how many percent? Do you see now that God does not count by how many things you do? He counts by what he has given you. If he has given you 10, he's expecting 100%. If he has given you 2, he's expecting 100%. If he has given you 1, he's expecting 100%. So the person that has 5 will not say, why will God expect 100% from me the same with somebody that have 2? As servants, we have different abilities. Now, there was the time of accountability. Someone say accountability. Did the master return? Did the master return? Is our master returning? Will he soon return? Okay. When he returns, look at what happened in this case. When he returns, he said, come, all my servants, come, I've come back. And the one who had 5 came to him and said, master, you gave me 5. I have gained 5 more. Altogether, how many? Did the master take it from his hand? Huh? You know, this kingdom work is like somebody bought you a car and said, do car business, run taxi, and be bringing every week. Is that not so? Be bringing every week. At the end of the day, you now, as you are driving, you say, this person self, I'll be walking, I'll be giving him money, walking. If you don't know that the person has in mind that he wants to test your faithfulness, and you now spoil the car. You not go walk. When the man asks you, where is my money for the week? You say, today I know, this week I don't work. Oh. Mechanic, 9, they get me. That will decide whether the person will give you the car. So whenever you have little, be faithful with your little as a servant. Before much is given you. The one that had 2, he had more 2. Did the master take the 2 from him? The one that had 1, what did he do? The Bible says, no. The Bible says he went off. It's very important. That statement is very important. Don't jump it. He went off like some of you. He disappeared. He was no longer seen in church again. The next thing he did after wenting off, he worked for the devil. He went to dig ground. So dig ground is easy. He dug the ground and hid the money. Now, what does that mean? Some of you, when God gives you grace, talents, gifts, money, babies, you will not see in church again. Appointment. You will not see in church again. What have you done? You have gone off. So the talent, the gifts God gave you, what are you doing? You have buried it inside yourself. And the master said, Oga, one, where is my money? He said, master, I know you are a hard man. Some of you think God is very hard. Some of you think God is very difficult. If I ask somebody who has interviewed me to say, why is God? God is too mean. Why will he be punishing people when they sin? Why won't God allow people to do as they like? I said, I pity you. God is not mean. God did not take our free will from us. You still do as you like. It's because God did not, if God wants to be forcing himself on you, this talk, wait, talk now, God's supposed to knock your head. But you are still alive. Amen. And the man said, you are a hard man. You reap where you do not sow. When you don't give your tithes to God, that is what you are telling God. That God, you are a hard man. You reap where you do not sow. After I walk, sweat, you now say, I should give 10%. I should donate for this. I should donate for that. I should donate for that. Some of you have even gotten angry with pastors. Say, the pastor, they collect the money. Let him go and look for a job to do. You are telling God, you are a hard man. You reap where you do not sow. And the Lord said, no, wahala. You know I'm a hard man. I agree. But since you know I'm a hard man, you should have gone to save my money in the bank. So that by now I will get some profit. He says, take what he has and give to the one who has four. No, is it five he has now? How many does he have now? Plus the one, how many does he have? The more you serve God, the more God gives you responsibility. The day you say, God, this work too much. Why are you giving me more? That day, you are saying, I'm no longer a servant. It's a command. Somebody say it's a command. Number two reason is that it's modeling Jesus. When you live a servant life, you are modeling who? Jesus. You are living the life of Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. The second thing I want to talk about today is that God expects you to serve Him and to serve others. God wants you to serve Him and to serve others. Now, Jesus, in Matthew 20, taught His disciples what it means to serve in the kingdom of God. What it means to be a ruler in the kingdom of God. Matthew 20:25-28. It says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. How many of you want to be first? I did not raise hand again. How many of you want to be first? Some will say, this first I not take. Have you seen where they are offering people to take first? And they say they will not take first. Let me give them a second chance. How many of you want to be first? Okay. How many of you want to be slave? Are you seeing human beings? The Bible says slave. Then they say, I don't want slave. Just call me servant. It's better. Let me read it again. Come, media, give us Matthew 20. So that they will know that the Bible does not miss words. I say, how many of you want to be slave? They say, I want to, not the slave you are calling, no, I want to be servant. Can we read now together? Want to go? Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Verse 26, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be what? Verse 27, two things. You want to be great. Be what? You want to be first. Be what? That is the part some people don't like. That's why some people want to carry last. You should not carry last in the things of the kingdom. You should be... You know, the idea of being first is that You are always at the forefront of everything in the kingdom. And to do that successfully, you must be a slave. Now, how many of you want to be slaves? One, two. Oh, angel, count them for me. May the spirit of slavery in Christ rest upon you. So you must be slave. To who? No. Read that text well. Anyone who wants to be first among you. Did you hear the among you? Huh? Among who? Among angels? Among those in heaven? Among who? Among ourselves. Must be what? Your what? It did not say must be the slave of Jesus. Read the Bible very well. Say, whoever that wants to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever that wants to be first among you must be your. So you see that servanthood is not, some of us think we are only servants of Christ. Do you see Jesus to serve him? Huh? How many of you have seen Jesus physically to serve him? No. He says in that same Matthew 25, when he talked about the parable of the sheep and the goats. Do you remember that parable? He says, whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, that you do to me. The day you help this grandma to climb this staircase, hold her hand and climb the staircase, who are you holding? Who? Jesus. When you visit somebody who is sick and pray for the person and encourage the person, who have you visited? It's because we think that it's the person we have visited, that is why we are expecting the person to do us back. Praise God. Do you understand this principle? We are not like the world. The kingdom of Christ is the kingdom of servanthood. Now, in Christ's kingdom, servanthood is the key to greatness, not position. In Christ's kingdom, what is the key to greatness? And not what? Position. Do you know I can be a bishop and yet I'm not a servant? Huh? I can be a deacon Tammy Siloko, and yet I am not even a servant. I'm not even practicalizing the name I claim to bear, because the word deacon in the Greek word means servant. Huh? So I think we should be calling them servant. Praise the Lord. Servant Matthew. You say present, sir. Praise God. Greatness coming through lowly servanthood is beyond our comprehension. It's beyond human reasoning. And if we must be one as a church, as a body of Christ, every one of us must learn to submit to one another. We must learn to submit ourselves to one another. The problem why a lot of us don't serve is because we don't submit. We cannot imagine a world with no rivalries. In a world with no competition, joy will come from the privilege of serving others. We are serving with joy, not because you are competing with anybody or you are trying to fight anybody. You are just serving with the joy of the Lord. That kind of church will be a peaceful place, true of us. That church will grow, true of us. Everybody is serving with joy, with the joy of the Lord. Not minding whether they are recognized. These days now, a lot of people are serving and waiting for award. Amen. We came to church early today before 7:30, and my son said, let him quickly go and clean and arrange his class so that by next year, Holiday Bible School, he will win an award. I said, that is wrong motive. I said, come here, you need Christ. And it looks so funny as a child. That is what he's aiming at. But that's what a lot of us do. That's what a lot of us do. And now even the church leadership has made it so good for you. Huh? That will call you one of these and say, we want to give a word in recognition. Huh? In recognition of your commitment and your service. There are some good things we do in church that is going outside God's command. We want to give this award in recognition of your financial contribution to the work of God. I know some churches today, at the end of the year, they give award to the person who paid the highest tithe. Three of us. And everybody will clap. Now, that person who paid the highest tithe might not have been faithful to God. Eh? For instance, if he made 1 billion, how much is his tithe? 100 million. And he gives 50 million. Won't they clap for him? Eh? Won't you clap? They are not answering me again. You will clap. Both you will clap. And you will deceive God. You are the same thing. Because as you are cheering him, you are cheering his unfaithfulness. Today, you are not talking to me again. Amen. In fact, Jesus said, such persons have received their reward already. A lot of us, including myself, in some instance, have received our reward already. Because this flesh is a bad flesh. Anybody seated here who will say at one time or the other, I'm not saying, all this thing I'm doing, they don't even know it. They don't even recognize it. It's as if I'm doing nothing. That is temptation. I beg, let me leave them. Leave them. A prophet is not known in his hometown. Whatsoever you do with joy, whatsoever you serve with the heart of God, heaven recognizes it. We should serve God. We must be servants of Christ as we serve others. We are to serve Christ supremely, but we are also to serve one another. We are called to freedom. Brethren, only do what turns your freedom into opportunity for the flesh. Don't do what will turn your freedom to an opportunity for the flesh. I'm reading Galatians 5:13. I read that again. You are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. How many people are we to serve? One another. We are not to serve each other as masters. Our mutual service is an act of love and submission. Our obedience to Christ as master is supreme. Love serves others by meeting their needs. If you love God, you will serve others. If you love God, you will do service. Now, let's look at 14 characteristics of the mind of a servant. I will mention them and you will take them with me. Number 1, humble. Number 2, obedient. Number 3, willing. Number 4, loyal. Number 5, faithful. Number 6, watchful. Number 7, courageous. Number 8, not quarrelsome. Number 9, gentle. Number 10, able to teach. 11, patience. 12, meek. 13, good. And 14, wise. We'll take it again so that you'll get the 14 characteristics of a servant mind. Humble. Be humble. When you are humble, humble is a proper attitude towards the master's work in others. You have a proper attitude towards the master's work in others. That means you see what God is doing in others and you appreciate it. Do you get that? You are humble enough to acknowledge and appreciate and even submit to what God is doing in another person's life. You know, sometimes pastors are not humble. Sometimes we go for programs and the preacher is preaching. All we are thinking of is, I would have preached this message better. I would have come from this. This man did not see. You are proudful. You know, when I got to seminary newly and they begin to teach me biblical interpretations, like some of you have learned introduction, and begin to teach me homiletics, how to present the message, you know, and I go to programs and I sit down. I'm analyzing the preacher's presentation. It did not start from the context. This man did not mention the heart of the text. This is not preaching. That thing was taking over my head. Too much knowledge is bad. Thing was worrying me. So I will begin to analyze. So one day I spoke to myself. I said, come, are you okay? You don't know that you are going crazy, because anybody preach, that thing make my friend to not to get money when he went for long vac. The church did not pay him money. He went and was preaching. Every time he preached, because he does not want to make mistake. The Greek word for humble. Every word he mentioned, I will give them the Greek word and the Hebrew word. So when he finished and he got back home, his father, who was a member of the church, told him, I'm disappointed in you. So that is why. Say, you are just speaking over our heads. What did you say now? Tell us what we expect us to gain from what you are saying. I said, that you don't understand. So the next time the pastor gave an opportunity to preach again, he entered into deep theological analysis. So when he was leaving after long vibe, people were just saying, bye-bye. Nobody even said, take transport. Even the church did not give him 10 kobo. So he came back to school. I said, no money to come back to school. I said, what happened? He said, man, that preacher I preach, too much knowledge is bad. It does not give you blessing. Praise God. Amen. But you know, some members are like Pharisees and Sadducees who come to church on Sunday. They are checking the pastor's diction. Do you know what is diction? They are checking whether his English is correct. If it is me, you will check tire. Amen. They will now analyze. This pastor is moving around too much. He's supposed to stand in one spot. I went to one church that they keep the microphone. They hang it on the altar. As I was waiting for my turn to preach, I said, Lord, help me. How am I going to preach this preaching? Everybody that come will just talk to the microphone and stay there and finish and go. I didn't know that the church pastor too has been praying to God on how to break that here. Because he too met that. There are some traditions you met in some traditional church. If you just go and break it, you are in trouble. So I climb the pulpit. I look at the microphone. I look at everywhere. I say, praise God. Yes, hallelujah. I say, let us pray. As they close, I collect the mic. Before they know, I was down. So when I preach and preach and preach, I say, oh, sorry, I forgot that you will keep mic here. Oh, no, 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 sorry, 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 sorry. Next time, I will take note of it. Let's continue. The next year, they invited me again. By that year, some spirit is coming down. I carry mic, preach well. The next year I came, they don't remove microphone stand. Do you know some people, because as I carry that mic, some people will not listen to my message again. So why would this man carry, be moving up and down? You are a Pharisee. Tell your neighbor, be humble. Be humble. Celebrate others. Now, the fleshy attitude is this. You will say to that person, you will say, this person is doing everything, is everywhere. The pastor is standing everywhere. You should celebrate the person. But the fleshy attitude, you say, what did she teach her? She be self. She teach her that she be everything for this church. She just a duke basa queen. Everywhere you see her, everywhere you see her, you are in the flesh. Instead of you to thank God for a sister or a brother that is working for the Lord. Flesh is worrying you. Amen. But when you are humble, you are a humble member. You free God to manifest himself to you and through you. When you are humble, God will manifest himself to you and manifest himself through you. God uses the humble. He says he abases the proud and he lifts up the what? The humble. If you want God to manifest himself greatly to you, you must be humble. Obedient. I will end where my time stop. Obedient. To be obedient is to understand the authority of the master over my time and my life. Now, if you are an obedient child of God, you understand the authority of Christ over your life and over your time. How many of you know that Jesus has authority over your time? Huh? Do you know that? But do you practicalize that? What do you tell Jesus? Say, let's come and do this. Oh, I would have loved to be there, but I don't have time. How many of you have said, I don't have time? You don't have time. As if the time now your own. Huh? By the time you say, I don't have time, what have you said to your master? You don't have authority over my time. Once you say, I will not be available, you have said to your master, you don't have authority over my time. I have planned my time for this week. I have planned all what I want to do. So this one you are bringing now cannot enter. They are saying, Jesus, you cannot disturb my time. After all, you say we should plan. You even put it at him. Say we should plan. I'm planning my time and you are bringing things to interrupt. May God help you. Amen. I know some of you here, once 11 o'clock knock, bang, bang. You don't carry your Bible. Because your time is up. Let Holy Ghost be moving, or Holy Ghost be on fire. You'll be checking out your time. You are saying Jesus does not have authority over your time. Jesus has authority over your time and your life. That is an obedient servant. Now you say, well, it's not Jesus that told us to wait. It's not Jesus that kept us beyond. May God have mercy on you. You must understand that Jesus moved by himself. Some of you think the pastor just decided to do what he wants to do. In fact, some things that Jesus asked me to do, if I have my way, I will not do. Do you understand that? Because even me too, I could need rest.
True of us. Am I not a human being? But when Jesus said, do something, move in this direction, it's yes, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Fleshy attitude. Okay, in a minute, I'll be there. In a minute. When they use the language in a minute, it doesn't really mean a minute. What does it mean? Give me some. So when you tell Jesus, give me some time, it is flesh at work. Now, one of the dangerous religious fleshiness. Did you get that? Religious what? Let me pray about it. Jesus is already telling you, do this. You are telling Jesus, I want to do what? Pray about it. Let me pray about it. Go and be praying about it. To who? Most times they don't even pray about it. Three of us. You calculate it, whether you can be able to do it. Am I talking to real people?
Yes, sir.
The truth is that you go and calculate. Can I meet up? Can I be able to deliver? Now, whenever God gives you assignment, he's not looking at your ability. He's looking at your willingness and your obedience. Then his ability will be made available. Praise God. When you are obedient servant, you free God to do mighty acts. How many of you want to see God do mighty acts through you? Then be obedient. Now I give you this story. Some of you just came here, you don't understand this story. Some people will know the story of how we got here. How many of you remember how we got here? Hello? How many of you remember how we got here? Some of you don't know. If you remember how we got here, lift up your hands. Okay, so you know some stories need to be told so that as new people are coming, they'll be getting the story. Yesterday, I sat down to go to, you know, thank God for technology sometimes. I went to, you know, we have been arguing, when did we start this project? Nobody can give dates, but I went to Google. Google gave me information. We started this project 2015 August, and Google brought out some pictures for me. I looked through 2015, because every stage we reach, I used to snap. I looked to 2015. All we did in 2015 is the DPC. TPC. Then in 2017, we did the first decking. 2018, we did nothing. I look for it, nothing, empty. I got angry under the influence of the Holy Spirit 2019. I called some people, I said, look, this work must move by fire, by force. I know if you remember in October 2019, the Lord now said, tell the people, in 3 months' time, you are crossing over. How many of you remember? Did we cross in 3 months' time? Huh? Okay. We crossed, Abby. Was it easy? Some of you abandoned me on the way. Three of us. Some of you say, I know, God is so faithful. God was speaking to me. Some of you are saying in your heart, let us see what this man wants to do. She ain't saying, our God. We'll go see. I said, the Lord is good. And his mercy is endures forever. But thank God, God does not move with majority. One with God. God will just need some few people to believe, and the work will move. And the way 3 months is as if If you don't believe God before, that one alone should make you do what? That was October. By November, do you know we have roofed? And we came here for thanks. And then some people begin to say, Pastor, let's not go back. Let's remain. And I said to them, God gave me 3 months. This one is just for you to test. Soup never done. Just test the soup. Praise God. I remember my friend came to me, I will not mention name, in January. I said, Pastor, this January ending, you won't move. I believe God in you. I believe God. But let's shift it to April. I look up, look down. This guy is my close friend. I love him. He loved me. And I said to him, I have moved. I have moved. Come 26th of January, I am here. Because that is what God commanded. Obedience is very important. He looked at me, smiled. It's okay. Do you know we moved here exactly 26th of January 2020? Huh? By March, what happened? If you didn't move, Koro would have corroded you. Koro would have corroded us where we are. When God speaks, He requires you to obey immediately. Quick, move, instant obedience. I will just take the last one, willingness. I will stop here, then next week we continue. Willingness. Somebody say willingness. Willingness is the mind of a servant. A servant is always what? Willing. Our behavior often depends on our feelings rather than our will. Most of us react by our feelings rather than the will. I don't think I can. That is what? What is talking? They are not talking to feelings. Is that not so? I don't think I can. That is what? Feelings. Flesh. I don't think it's possible. What is talking? Flesh. But there is a willpower God gave us. Is that not so? That there's nothing we will with Him that we cannot accomplish. So today, you must throw away feelings. Someone said, throw away feelings. After all, feelings can be confusing. Today you feel like this. Tomorrow you feel like that. If you react or act or do anything or stay where you are by feelings, you will not make headway in life. One morning, I was to go out for my morning exercise. And as I came out, it was drizzling. The feeling said, go and rest. Can't you see rain? Go and rest and relax. Must you do it? I went inside. Flesh is bad though. I went inside. I sat on my bed. I was to unlace my shoe. I heard the voice of the Lord say to me, what happened to the scripture that said, step in by faith and whether we obey you? I said, God, I am going. As I step out, begin to jog, the rain stop. I finish jogging. Then the rain come back when I reach my house. You know, sometimes we look at, as I was jogging, the Lord reminded me of the scripture that said, he that looks to the cloud will not sow. You know, everything in life is God speaking. You know? Sometimes we don't know that God is doing something in our activities. I say, God, thank you. When you look at the cloud, see the cloud is gathering. We cannot go to farm. You will die with hunger. Tell your neighbor, stop looking at the cloud. Move with your willpower. So, even nature will obey your will. I don't need to pray and say, Lord, you know, sometimes we waste time. We waste time in prayer. Some people would have gone to say, Father, let this rain stop, oh. I want to go for jogging. Let the rain stop, oh. Why the Father is saying, enter it, oh. and you sit waiting for God to do miracle for rain to stop. You don't know that once you move in it, God does not move if you have not moved. The moment you move, God is on the move. I think I should stop here. Fleshy attitude. You have to look out for yourself. I beg you, let me just take it easy. Oh, this pastor will not kill me. May God help you. For me to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. Paul says, I beat my body daily. That means he strained. He says, I strain, press on towards the mark. If you are willing and obedient, oh, when you mix willingness and obedience together, what happens? You will eat the best. You will get the best reward. Do I have people who are ready to be willing? Now, how many have we looked at? Humble, obedient, and willing. When you are obedient, blessings will come to you, true of us. When you are obedient, the work of your hand shall be blessed. When you are willing, what happens to you? You will eat even the good of the land. The best of God will come to you. Those who are willing to serve, willing to sacrifice, willing to give their time, submit their time to God, the best will come. When you are willing, you are identifying with the master's attitude, because Jesus was willing to die a shameful death. Was he not willing to die? Was that death a glorifying death? Was a shameful death, but he was what? Willing. Bow your heads. Let's pray. Servanthood is a command. Can you to say, Lord, forgive me for not being a servant. And pray, Lord, promote me to be the slave of all. Promote me. That is a serious prayer. Can you say, promote me to be the slave of all? In the spirit realm, you are saying, Lord, I want to be first. Help me to be the slave of all. To serve everyone in this church. To serve and to give my time. Can you submit your time to his authority? Submit your life to his authority. I hope somebody's praying. Submit your time to his authority, your life to his authority. Submit your will to his will. Submit your whole to him. And say, Lord, today, help me to acknowledge your work in other people's life. Help me not to castigate every fleshy attitude towards service. Father, remove from me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Give me a humble heart, a humble mind. Give me an obedient mind. Give me a willing mind to always say, yes, Lord, to your will and to your purpose. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Father, we thank you. We give you praise for speaking to us in this manner. Help us to be slaves. Remove pride from us. Remove arrogance from us. Remove self from us. Help us, Lord, to submit to your authority. Lord, from now we say, take over. Have authority over our time. Punctuate it. Interrupt it. Use us when you will. Use us whenever you want. Give us a servant mind. Give us a slave mind to serve others in the name of Jesus. Help us not to be Sidon look. Help us to participate. Help us to give our time, give our energy in the name of Jesus. Father, those who are not doing anything in this house, Lord, help them to come to the point to say, what can I do? Where can I be placed? What can I, how can I help? May this spirit rest upon them in the name of Jesus. Let every member of this church be a servant to the glory of your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
For joining us in today's service. We believe your time in God's presence has been refreshing. Here are some upcoming events. Night of Worship, 14th September. Stewardship Revival, 25th to 28th September 2022. The church is in need of the following: replacement of AMA cable and MU panel, 2,500,000 naira. Installation of inverter, 3,598,000 naira. Remaining balance of our loan, 2,500,000 naira. Pray for them this week. Wedding anniversary for this week. Mr. and Mrs. Oluwamayowa, 25th August. Mr. and Mrs. Akubo, 27th August. Birthday celebrant for this week. Wobodo Anointed, 21st August. Adeshope Ifeoluwa, 24th August. Ernest Clement, 24th August. The prayer ministry is having her annual prayer retreat camp.